get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, God's light has set us free. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Amen.
Please be seated.
Please join me in praying for understanding. How easy it is to hear words we have heard before and drift away, thinking our own old thoughts over and over again. Wake us up, O God, as we listen to your word being read, that we might hear what we haven't heard before and take delight in being awake to the life anew in Christ our Lord. Amen. Every aspect of a backpacking trip reveals a unique facet of the mountain. One summer, I recognized the majesty of the Gallatin Mountain Range near Bozeman, Montana. It was morning when I first saw the mountain on the horizon. It looked like they were just a few minutes down the road, yet we traveled all day before reaching the base of the Gallatin Range. The next morning, the bus climbed a steep, narrow road through dense woods. Every turn revealed a new aspect of the mountain. One day earlier, I could hold up my hand and wink and size up the mountain between my thumb and index finger. This morning, I cranked my neck up and studied the endless towering wall of rock and trees. I could not see the summit, but I knew it was up there. The bus creaked over the uneven gully washed out road, and the motor howled in protest over the grade as we climbed higher and higher. The road turned into two wheel tracks, then ended in brush when the grade became too steep. I gathered my pack, hopped off the bus, and began my journey up the mountain. The trail meandered back and forth, crossing a small stream numerous times as it bounced back and forth between the mountain faces on both sides. After a day of hiking up this ever-ascending valley, the two sides of the mountain joined together, and I hiked that ridge for another half a day until I emerged above the tree line. The view was breathtaking. The enormity of the mountain was revealed. I looked back, and I see a tiny stream I hiked beside the previous day. And you can tell that was a while ago. Look at me, I have hair back then. It now appears so small, that stream. I studied the trail ahead as it switched back and forth up the steep mountain face and then disappeared. After hiking all afternoon, it appears that I will reach the summit. But just a few more steps revealed a large plateau and a beautiful lake. It is calm as glass and reflects the mountain. I look across the lake and there is Gallatin Peak, streaked with snow in late July. I have this picture in my church study. The trail ends at the far side of the lake, and I set up camp. It is amazing how the mountain changed as the sun sets. For several hours, I was in the shadow of the peak until I finally realized that the sun was setting because I could look across on the next mountain range and see the change in colors. In the morning, I studied the face of the Gallatin Peak, determined to find a way to reach the summit. I tried numerous routes, but they were all dead ends. The rock face became too steep or the spree too unstable. I know pictures don't do it justice. It doesn't look that steep, but let me tell you, when you're there, it's pretty steep. Exhausted, I returned to camp and studied the rock face for a new route. The silence was broken by an exuberant holler. Someone had made it to the top. The top was too far away to see them, but it was unmistakable that they were there. I would have one more day to try again to reach the summit before beginning my journey back to the trailhead. The next day I got closer to the peak, but again I was unable to reach the summit. The bus would be returning to pick me up at the trailhead in 2 days, so I needed to be there. I thought the hike down would be familiar, but it is amazing how different things look when you turn just 180 degrees. I climbed into the bus and listened to the stories of other backpackers who traveled different routes. One backpacker described the spectacular trip to the summit of Mount Gallatin, and I inquired, "How did you reach the summit?" He explained a narrow trail chipped into the mountain face. As we talked, I learned that he hiked 3 days up the valley from the west, and I came from the east. He shared how wonderful the view was from the summit, but how he had seen this beautiful lake and wanted to hike down to the lake where I was camped. Together, we shared our stories and shared some pictures, and together, we had a more complete picture of the Gallatin Mountain. In his treatise on seeing God, Augustine emphasizes the many aspects of God's nature. Augustine said, "God is like a many-faceted jewel. God chooses to reveal certain aspects to each of us, through us, and in us." David Hazard wrote, "God made us to need each other. We can know more about God by listening to each other's experience. If I want to know God better, I cannot dismiss you and your experience of God. When I learn to stop ignoring you, I suddenly see a new depth of God." Genesis proclaims, "God created human beings in God's own image. In the image of God, God created them. Each of us bears a unique facet of God. Our diversity, different styles of worship, diverse ways of perceiving God, our varied ways of interpreting Scripture, and different opinions reveal a more complete picture of God. Instead of trying to be similar, growth comes when we celebrate our diversity, listen to uniqueness, and consider different perspectives. God is infinitely more wonderful, joyful, glorious, and loving than we can fathom. God is huge, but too often we try to put God in a box and think that God only wants things a certain way, usually our way. If we try to become like one another, we narrow our perspective of God. The psalmist sings about God's omnipresence, that God's presence is with us everywhere, and God's omniscience, knowing every person's thought and detail. The psalmist sings about how each of us is made unique. God takes the time to make every person a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. No two people have the same personality, delights, gifts, dreams, or physical appearance. God designed us so each of us will reveal a facet of God. When we love each other, we discover and love God. The psalmist sings, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Why are we tempted to change, to not celebrate our uniqueness and reveal our true self when each of us is wonderfully made in God's image? We are to strive to polish the tarnish of sin off our life, to remove distorting fear and hate from us so we can shine with God's brilliance. However, we are each to be different, special. For God created us a one-of-a-kind person who reveals a facet of God that no one else can see and reveal except for us. Some people go to great lengths and spend huge sums of money to alter their appearance. Some people spend a great deal of energy trying to behave and think like someone else. What motivates people to devote so much time, energy, and money to alter themselves, to try to be like someone else? Perhaps when we peel back the layers, the real need is to be loved. Maybe it is a spiritual longing gone astray that causes someone to desire a facelift when what they really need is a soul lift. As we peel back the layers, is it fear that being different will make us less loved, accepted, and appreciated? Whenever you are tempted to be like someone else, remember that God delights in you being you, your true self. God smiles when you celebrate your uniqueness. We live in a time when often people value people for what they do. God loves you whatever your productivity. God loves you for you. We never need to earn God's love. God got excited about us when God formed the very first cell of our being. You are so infinitely valuable that Jesus died for you so God can spend eternity with you. God has more loving thoughts for each person, for you, than there are grains of sand in the cosmos. Barbara Sher says, "You are a one of a kind. The world will never see anyone like you again. You have a unique perception and your own contribution to make." Imagine how God smiled with delight as God formed you. Imagine how God delights in you. God loves each one of us, and nothing can ever separate us from God's love. God knows each of us and is with us. Part of worship is reflection. We reflect on what God has done, is doing, and will do in the future. God invites us to see ourselves as God sees us, a beloved, cherished child of God. What keeps you as seeing yourself as God sees you? How do you stifle celebrating God's delight in you? God loves you so much and enjoys your company so immensely that God considers your body to be a living temple for the Holy Spirit. Of all the beauty in the universe, God chose your body to be God's preferred temple. God wonderfully made each of us, knows us, loves us, and is with us. Each one of us is like a puzzle piece. Individually, we reveal a minuscule speck of the image of God. We reflect light through one facet of the jewel. We experience only one trail through life. Together, we see more of the image of God, discover new facets. We discover more of life's journey and learn different ways to experience God. The more I listen to you and others, the more I discover about God. I cherish my visits with seniors, your wisdom, and life stories. Children remind me of beauty I have long ago taken for granted. The magic of a snowflake, the joy of rolling in the grass, the awe of learning how some common thing works, and the abundance of wonders that are all around me. Youth, I love your questions and the way that you are able to discover how God is working in your life. And the more I learn about different cultures, the more I perceive and learn about God. The psalmist declares, God's thoughts are more numerous than the sands for each person. This fall at the 10:45 worship service, we hope to grow in our perception of God. We're going to try something new and kind of bold. During worship, everyone will be invited to send a tweet. That's for some of you who aren't up on that technology term. That's like a short text message, and it'll go back to the tech booth, and Lonnie will be able to preview it, and then it will be projected up on the screens during worship so that all of us can be inspired by that. Hopefully, our sharing will help each of you see more of God. So for those of you who like multisensory experiences, you can watch the screen and read those words that are different from my sermon words or from the songs that Chase and the praise band are singing. If you don't like that, just focus right on the center and just ignore the screens. We're also considering posting the scriptures in advance and having that up on the web someplace so that everyone can comment on that scripture and ask questions. And then I will work those comments and questions into the message. Please share your ideas on this with Lonnie or myself. Together, the more we share, the more we will experience God. The easy thing to do during the sabbatical, which will take place roughly February through April, would be to arrange for a pastor or a different pulpit supply to cover each Sunday. And we will do that for some Sundays. Pastor Gail will lead Easter worship and our special Lenten services. But we have this wonderful opportunity to get a bigger perspective of God by sharing some of your insights. So on other Sundays, in hopes of broadening our perception of God, we will have small groups that will share their insights on living in Sabbath. And we'll have three Sundays where we will do worshipful work, hands-on mission Sundays. It will be a great opportunity to try some new ways of worshiping. And let's not be afraid to fail, to try some new things and say, you know, that isn't for us at this time. Yet, let's also appreciate the diversity to understand that even though it may not be for us personally, it is a meaningful way for some other people to connect with God. Perhaps we will discover some new forms of worship that glorify God, inspire, and that we also enjoy. After the sabbatical, we will have a retreat and we will all share our insights. We will decide what we want to add or alter in the 10:45 worship service. But then after the sabbatical, we will pretty much keep the 9:45 worship its traditional style, because I know that that is much beloved for many of you as well. Variety is good. If every mountain is the same, if there is only one kind of tree, plant, and animal, if there is only one color, shape, or smell, wouldn't life be pretty boring? What if we all looked exactly the same and had the same thoughts and opinions and personality? What would life be like then? We have a great opportunity to explore a variety of ways to grow in our experiences of God. The Apostle Paul wrote, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. God is constantly creating, working, and revealing God's self through each one of us. Appreciate the uniqueness of every person. Discover and affirm their distinct beauty. Each of us has a special gift, perspective, experience, and insight of the image of God. Every time we welcome another into our community and join together in love, we discover more about God. Amen. Let us take a moment of silence to center with God.